broadcasting live. Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. Thank you for stopping by. You are tuning in to the very first edition of your favorite Blockheads MMA Breakdown. We have never done an episode like this before. You are tuning into the very first one. Thank you so much for stopping by this evening. Just to take a few minutes, for those of you that have followed the show in the past, you know that this is the one podcast that will take two very unlikely intangibles and discuss them on the show. I'll talk about Peanuts comic strips or other things that deal with society and culture, and then I'll always wrap up the show with some analysis of current day MMA. This time, we're going to particularly go into the sport that is mixed martial arts and take a look at specifically the events that took place at UFC 239 on into upcoming main events for the UFC. So if that is not your reason for stopping by the show, if you are tuned in more into the Peanuts discussions, I understand that. I'm giving you the disclaimer now. If you want to stick with us through the show because you're a casual fan and you want to learn a little bit more about the sport that is mixed martial arts, well, I'll certainly do my best to entertain you. Those of you that are diehard MMA fans, welcome. This is YFB's MMA Breakdown. As we get started, as you know, I am a UFC fanatic, but I also would like to talk about my friends over at Fanatics, the global leader in licensed sports merchandise. Fanatics is changing the way fans purchase their favorite team apparel and jerseys online. Fanatics offers the largest collection of timeless and timely merchandise, whether shopping online, on your phone, in stores, in stadiums, or on-site at the world's biggest sporting events, offering the largest selection of sports collectibles and memorabilia out of more than 300 online and offline stores of all major professional sport leagues, including the NFL, Major League Baseball, the NBA, National Hockey League, Major League Soccer, NASCAR, professional golf, the UFC, and so much more. You can find these products through many major media brands, including NBC Sports, CBS, Fox, and more than 200 collegiate professional team properties. You can now get summer savings through my link on the podcast and get merchandise up to 70% off. This is only going to run until midnight tonight, so make sure you check out the link and see how you can get 70% off of your merchandise. When you purchase an item, you not only support Fanatics, but you support your favorite Blockhead, because I will always receive a commission off of any of these sales that go through. So again, it's a win-win all the way around. You get a coupon up to 70% off. Not bad for summer savings. You get the best online merchandise as a sports fanatic out there, and also you help out my friends over at Fanatics. So thank you again for those who support the show, those of you that buy the merchandise. I'm super excited about this tonight. Now, as I promised, we're going to be going into the main events of UFC 239. And when I say that UFC 239 changed mixed martial arts forever, I do not exaggerate when I say that. You had three main events in the main card that received performance of the night. Now, as I get into this, I have to start with the beginning of the main card. I'm going to start with Diego Sanchez and Michael Chiesa. Now, really, the only anything that I could say about this fight, the only revelation I've got is Diego Sanchez came in after the weigh-ins and gave this almost... Those of you that ever follow professional wrestling, you remember that the Ultimate Warrior was a guy who, when he did promos, it was very hard to understand what he was discussing. Most people, even though they might have listened and thought that that was really cool and identify with the 80s and the 90s, most people go, I couldn't make head nor tails of what he was saying. Rhetoric was just so sporadic. And this is what happened with Diego Sanchez. The Nightmare came in, did this post-interview of the weigh-ins with Ariel Helwani, and he almost was just straight-talking into the cosmos. It was like he was going into this whole spill, like he had become... he encountered Yoda. And, of course, as we know, as the result, Michael Chiesa, who kept a cool head, came in and just performed like he normally does. We've been expecting more out of Michael Chiesa for a while, and sure enough, he's able to put one of the original Ultimate Fighters away. unfortunate, but it really is time for him to either step aside or step up. And it looks to me like with this record, he's going to have to step aside. I don't mind him being in the MMA community. I don't mind him going into coaching. But honestly, that is the truth, that Michael Chiesa is the future and Diego Sanchez is the past. That's a hard pill for a lot of people to swallow. Now we get into Luke Rockhold versus Jan Błachowicz. And the only comment I had to say earlier before we got into this is that Jan had the opportunity on a huge card to be able to embarrass Luke Rockhold. And sure enough, that's what happened. Now, guys, if you come in here looking for a breakdown of an analysis of every single move that takes place on some of these fights, there's really nothing more to say except for that Jan wanted it more. It comes down to, if you're going to steal the spotlight, this is your chance. For him to get performance of the night is nothing less of extraordinary. So we're super thrilled with Jan and seeing what direction he's going to go in with Luke Rockhold. And then we get into the fastest KO in the history of mixed martial arts. The title was being held by one Conor McGregor, who was able to drop Jose Aldo in 9 seconds. You now officially have Jorge Masvidal dropping Ben Askren with a running knee in 5 seconds flat. Now, actually, the fight lasted less time than that. It was more like 1.5 seconds. The other three was for the referee to intervene. Now, one minute little detail that was overlooked that is going to be talked about on this particular podcast is if the ref, this is all going to be hypothetical. If the referee had got this wrong, there are plenty of people who are upset and up in arms about early stoppages. But there is something that happened immediately after Jorge Masvidal came in and ended Ben Askren. As the referee is coming over him, you notice he goes to the side. And what does he do? He taps out. Now, did he give a sign of submission? That is not what Blockhead is saying. But in a way, he is already gloating to where if the referee had been hot-tempered, could have lost his decision and would have been the most controversial moment in the history of MMA. And I can pull another one on this too, because watch Jorge's hand as he goes to the side of Ben Askren. This is definitely injecting salt into the open wound, but as he continues to tap, that is a gesture that you have given up. That could be misconstrued, and we could have a double knockout, a decision of a submission and a knockout at the same time. Guys, I know there are people on here that don't follow professional wrestling. I have not followed it since God knows how long. But when I do remember looking back at one particular incident, I think it might have happened in 2002 or 2003. But there was a build-up. There was a storyline. It was The Undertaker versus Kurt Angle versus The Rock. And before they met for their match, there was a match between Kurt Angle and The Undertaker. And Undertaker had him up, was going to put him in his signature move called The Last Ride. And Kurt Angle locks a leg lock around his neck. And the story buildup is this, that as he brings Kurt down, the referee calls for a 3 count at a pinfall. But just as his hand is falling, The Undertaker submits to this chokehold, this lock, that Kurt Angle is using on him. And thus we have controversy. Now, granted, that would be in a scripted-style format. Jorge just goes next to, right in clear sight of Ben Askren, and nobody wants to talk about that. I understand that you're looking at this and going, this is a clear knockout. But if misconstrued, Jorge Masvidal could have pulled off the most controversial moment in the history of MMA by a knockout and a submission simultaneously at the same time. Could you imagine? the backlash. Just hypothetically, put yourself in that situation for a second. Think back to what I'm talking about. We're all talking about the flying knee. Everybody has gone through that scenario, up, down, sideways, backwards, and forwards. What about this submission that happens? What about that? Even though we know it's taunting, we know that it's putting salt in the wound. However, what if the referee misunderstood this? What if he didn't see the distinction? Hashtag grain of salt, hashtag moving on. We're having a little bit of fun with this. A performance of the night and stock that is exploding out of the atmosphere, that is the Jorge Masvidal train. I don't know who is going to derail this, but I can see in due time a matchup, whenever the cards fall this way, for Jorge Masvidal and Kamaru Usman for the championship strap. It's going to be exciting to see this. And now as we move forward, we have Amanda Nunes versus Holly Holm. Now, originally, before I spoke with my guest, Big Russ, I automatically wanted to put my chips in for Amanda Nunes until he mentioned one small detail that I had overlooked. Big Russ said, on the build-up to Ronda Rousey, Holly Holm is the one that comes in when everybody's expecting a complete defeat, and she comes in and she wows everybody. It tends to be the pattern that we see for Holly Holm. And I went, whoa, I'm willing to change my prediction right here and now. But even though it didn't cost me anything, I wish I hadn't. Because again, we have Amanda Nunes just in a category all her own. Easily in the top five greatest champions, not just in the women's division, but champions, period, in the history of this sport. Now, as we get into John Jones versus Thiago Santos for the main event, we can finally say, after analyzing this fight, that John Jones does have a few gaps in his game. We didn't believe until going into this that John Jones had any holes in his MMA plans, except for when Thiago Santos started throwing those leg kicks. We found out that he's going to chop down the almighty John Jones. And if he had not caused his own afflicted pain, we might be having a completely different story, and Santos might be wearing the strap. Really hard to say. I mean, he outperformed Santos. Jones outperformed Santos in this case. However, we are realizing it's almost like Drago and Rocky. You see, he's not a machine. He's a man. Can he be defeated? What's going to happen for John Jones here from this point out until he gets a final fight? Obviously, he's not doing too well out in his personal life. But are we going to find more holes in his game? Something to be considering as we look forward into this sport. Again, a card that changed MMA forever. That the days could be numbered for John Jones, the stock at a meteoric rise for Jorge Masvidal, taking on a guy who had never lost a fight. From one championship on over into Bellator, finally we're able to break through the red tape. We have an overcomer that is Ben Askren, but in 5 seconds, all of that comes to a halt. Quite the pay-per-view. Good stuff. Anybody who hasn't followed MMA should be following now at this point. But as I get into that, if you're looking to go into more sporting events or if you want to check out a concert, be sure and check out my friends from Ticket Hot. Ticket Hot has a 100% money-back guarantee. Your tickets will arrive on time, whether online or through the mail, and will be valid for entry. And make sure when you get a checkout, make sure you use the promo code TH10OFF. That's capital T, capital H, 10, capital O, capital F, capital F. To get your tickets for your next sporting event, whether it's a UFC fight or if it's a baseball game before the kids go back to school, or you just want to check out a concert with your family that is in the nearby area, check out my friends over at Ticket Hot. Now, as we get into tonight's main event, we've got Frankie the Answer Edgar versus Blessed Max Holloway. Now, as I was sitting here thinking about how, again, Edgar is so dismissed tonight, it's going to be exciting for me if we can see Frankie Edgar tell his doubters as the song says by George Jones, I ain't ready for the junkyard yet. I don't need your rocking chair, which is obviously something that I would love to see him scream at the top of his lungs, or be able just to use his performance to share that otherwise with us. You have to understand that Frankie Edgar, he mentioned in ESPN MMA that he was just as good, he's just as good today as he was 10 years ago. Now, to put that into context, if we're talking about when Frankie Edgar was at his either his prime or 10 years ago, just period, there are two rivalries that come to mind for Frankie Edgar during that time period. If 2009 is what we're discussing, then we have to be talking about Sean Sherk, where he defeats the wrestler. And, of course, Edgar had this way of not only having takedown defense, but he had a unique style of a spin and a pull out and a back to his feet before that Sherk could even get himself repositioned. And that was another thing about during that time, Frankie Edgar, and even now, had the strangest, most crisp combos during that time period. That was the thing about him. This is not a guy who's going to keep you at a distance. He's going to get in close, and he's going to throw some strange combinations on you that you're not ready for. So when he combines his wrestling and he combines his combos in striking, not to mention a very unorthodox takedown defense during that time period, he was just phenomenal to watch. Outperformed Sean Sherk, but if we're going to talk about the rivalry that absolutely put Frankie Edgar over, we've got to be talking about Gray Maynard. We've got to be talking about the trilogy between those two. If you ever want a fun fight just to go back and watch, just because you want to get interested in MMA again, go check out Frankie Edgar versus Gray Maynard, 1, 2, and 3, to see the draw that happens in the second one. And again, all the story of that for Frankie Edgar, the story is recovery. How he can continually be hit in the chin and in the head and in the body and can still come back and perform the way he did. So if he's talking about being as powerful as he was 10 years ago, then I'm expecting a Frankie Edgar that everybody wants to dismiss because we don't pay attention to history. We're going to dismiss a guy who has an unorthodox takedown defense, who has the combos in the wrestling, and also the recovery to come back from anything to be able to take this all the way to the judge's scorecard, which in reality, you don't want that to go to the judge's scorecard. But if anybody can survive with Max Holloway the whole way through, it is going to be Frankie Edgar if he is what he said to ESPN MMA about being just as good as he was 10 years ago. And of course, we look at Holloway and go, well, this is the same guy that defeated Brian Ortega and Jose Aldo. And that was what ended up stopping, I think it was probably 2013 or whenever the time was a while back. Maybe I'm going back way too far. But point being, whenever Edgar stepped in with T-City Brian Ortega, he was able to find an opening in his combo. So if Max Holloway is going to get this done tonight, it's not going to be done at a distance. He's going to have to know how to get in tight with Frankie Edgar. When he's throwing those combos, it's going to be about the timing to get that same uppercut that Brian Ortega delivered to Frankie Edgar. He was able to figure out the timing. So he might have to take one out of T-City's formula and out of his manual to be able to get this done. So again, all of this I share with you is from a fan's perspective. It's the only leg that I've got to stand on. From the main events that happened at 239 up until this point where we are with Frankie Edgar and Max Holloway, I'm not going to sit here and tell you I can predict them. Hindsight being 2020 is what's going to prevail in the end. So as we get into this further, we also have Chris Cyborg and Felicia Spencer. Now, that one is a fun one, not just because this is Chris Cyborg, but because this is Felicia Spencer. She is 6-0, undefeated. She is in her hometown of Canada. This is taking place in Edmonton. And also, she's just a very calm, collected young lady. Whenever they had, I think it might have been UFC Embedded, where they had a long line of fans that were there to say hello to Chris Cyborg, Felicia Spencer goes, should I go by him and say hello? She did. She took the risk, but all of the fans were so great with her and wanted to stop and take pictures. The Canadian MMA fans are not a hostile group of fans. They're just not. They're very accepting. They tend to like everybody. And especially now with her having the home field advantage, Felicia Spencer could possibly shock the world tonight. I'm not going to say how. Even if shocking the world means going the whole way and going to a judge's scorecard and pulling off a draw, then that's the only answer I've got. So again, it may be Felicia Spencer, but of course, let's not forget how dangerous the Chris Cyborg is. Even though the Amanda Nunes train has come through and derailed her, that doesn't mean that we don't have some fireworks coming between these two tonight. So don't discount the co-main event. Now, as we go further, we're going to have to look at some other events coming up. If you are going to get involved in MMA, if ever there was a time for you to start following mixed martial arts, the main events that are happening for the UFC alone should be enough to do that. Colby Covington versus Robbie Lawler. Oh, that's going to be a good fight. The Bullet, Valentina Shevchenko versus Liz Carmouche. Immediately following that fight's going to happen. And I love the fact that we can talk about the women's division. Valentina Shevchenko is a wonderful champion. That's going to be a great fight. I love the fact that they are taking center stage for this. Immediately following that, the fight that should have happened a long time ago. The most deserving man in MMA today, Stipe Miocic versus Daniel Cormier II, for the heavyweight championship of the world. If anybody should be getting behind any fighter in the MMA world today, it would be Stipe Miocic. And as we get further, we have Jessica Andrade versus Welly Zhang that's going to come in the main event as well. This is a hard sell for the girls. They're going to be sandwiched in between Stipe versus DC2, and immediately following that, we're going to have Khabib returning to face Dustin Poirier. And this is the thing I can say about Dustin Poirier. He is easily being dismissed. I look at Frankie Edgar, he's being dismissed against Max Holloway. Because in a way, we tend to stick with who's the most current and the most relevant. You got fans that are laughing at the idea of Dustin Poirier being able to defeat Khabib. Why? He defeated Max Holloway last time I checked. If anybody has a promising chance who has stayed more active on the roster to be able to go in and face a less challenged Khabib, it's Dustin Poirier. It's going to be an excellent fight no matter the outcome. I'm not willing to die on the hill that Dustin Poirier is going to stop Khabib. I just believe that he has less cage rust, and that is a real thing that these fighters face. And then you want to talk about a fight that's got my attention. It's disrespectful for me to call him an old lion, but sometimes we look at the old lion versus young lion mentality. Justin Gaethje is stepping up against a guy who, just like a fine wine, is getting better with age and with the sport, which is Cowboy Donald Cerrone. This is not a guy who has any kind of a shelf life. So Donald Cerrone and Justin Gaethje is worth anyone's time to check out. A very young, hungry Justin Gaethje could possibly do it. But then again, Donald Cerrone has been silencing all of the critics for a substantial amount of time. Then we get to the story of Israel Adesanya versus Robert Whittaker. Now, when I look at this, Robert Whittaker as a middleweight champion is a guy who knows when to hold him, know when to fold him, and knows when to walk away, as the song goes. This guy is not the person who is going to engage in the trash talk, and he doesn't need to. He continues to stay cordial, even though Israel Adesanya is willing to pull the Apollo Creed mentality of, hey, whatever gets us into the ring, and I'm willing to play the bad guy in this particular setting. I'm willing to take the reins and be the heel. And Robert Whittaker is more of a guy who just goes, hey, you got me on that one, and I apologize. For him to apologize in the press conference about some meme that was going around Instagram, if anybody found a way to make being respectful sell tickets, it's Robert Whittaker. So my breakdown is all still there, and I bring this full circle just to say once again, in this sport, as fast-paced as it moves, one, you should be paying attention to MMA, and two, hindsight being 2020, is going to prevail every time. Every one of my predictions here could be completely wrong, my assumption on which direction they're going to go, it's too hard for me, too difficult for Blockhead to answer that for you. I would just hope that this could create some buzz, and this would be able to keep you interested in the world of mixed martial arts. Now, the next breakdown that I plan on doing, since this is really the first one and we get all the kinks worked out, the next one I do is going to focus entirely on Bellator MMA. This one was all about the UFC. This one's going to be about Bellator and taking a look further into. By that time when I do it, it should be about the time that we're getting into the September event between Lyoto Machida and Gegard Mousasi. So I should be getting into that. The Featherweight Grand Prix should be started. Maybe we'll finally know when the Welterweight Grand Prix Finals is going to take place. So Bellator MMA is going to be the entire focus of the next breakdown that we have. But until that time, make sure you check out my guys over at Century Martial Arts. Gain yourself a competitive advantage and advance yourself as a martial artist by choosing the best training gear from Century Martial Arts. Whether you're a black belt instructor, a fitness enthusiast, a school owner, a new student, or just someone who wants to give MMA a try, Century has what you need to get the most out of your training. And make sure when you purchase your MMA gloves, your Muay Thai pads, when you get to checkout, make sure you use the promo code SAVE10. That will save you 10% off of your purchase. And that is all I've got for you tonight. This has been your favorite Blockhead with the first MMA breakdown. We will see you the same Blockhead time, same Blockhead channel. Good night.